Morning, Pete. Good to see you again. Next week, a week from now, is Holy Week leading up to Resurrection Sunday. I want to hear your thoughts about that this week. But first, we have to talk about what's going on in Scotland. We have to talk about what just happened just over a week ago at the Send. I'm just burning to talk about. But even before that, are you okay? Are you okay? You have had just huge days, and I was thinking about you were speaking at the Send, and you had this huge leadership gathering at Lindrick Muir. Shout out to SU Scotland. Shout out to Robin and Mike and those guys. But you had this huge leadership gathering, and I saw on Instagram that you didn't just have this leadership gathering at Lindrick Muir, but you had it seems like you had leadership gatherings in different nations at the same time. Were they streaming it? Or I mean, I don't know what's going on, but how are you doing? That seems like so much at one time. I don't know how you do it. What? How are you? Are you alive?
Nice to see you, Brian. Hey, good morning. Morning. The sun is shining. Nice to see everyone as well. Hey, great to or talk to everyone as well. Yeah. We're just, I think over the weekend, both of us have been talking to people who are connecting into the podcast, and love that it's been a help. Thrilled to meet people who is helping, and what a joy this is. And I love this conversation with you, Brian. So yeah, great. You know, what a weekend. We had the Go Global family that I oversee is in 17 countries now. And what we have rhythms through the year, rhythms for pastors, rhythms for leaders. We have training moments. We have conferences just to strengthen leadership and to strengthen churches. That's the heart. And we have twice a year, I think, called the Global Leaders Day. And that was what we had at the weekend. So we just cover the same truths, teachings across the nations, but we did it in person. And actually across the nations, in India, they had gatherings, in Nepal, they had gatherings, in various parts of Africa, in Poland. And we brought the UK leaders together. So there was about 163, and Lindrick Muir couldn't take it anymore. We had to turn people away. So it was just great. Leaders from around our churches. And the theme of our weekend was leaders empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the heart was, how do we... So we did some teaching, but then we did lots of interaction, workshop, application, activation, you could say. Yeah. So, for example, when we taught on prophecy, then we went into groups and we did prophecy.
Yeah.
Or when we taught on hearing from God, we took individual time for periods to hear from God. But it was so powerful. The testimonies were great, and people were impacted. And it was just to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what we did the weekend. But it was great. Yeah, really, really great. And how great was the Send Vine? And it was so inspiring. I loved everything that Francis Chan shared on from Isaiah 6 and also from Jeremiah. It was brilliant. It was so great to see thousands of young adults intensely worshiping God, giving him all the glory and honor, and then pledging themselves, committing themselves to saying, like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Praise God. Yeah, so good.
Yeah, it was amazing. God is doing something globally. I mean, God is doing, like, with this next generation, it's exciting. And man, I want to talk a lot about it, but like, again, you're doing this big leadership thing, Go Global. Please tell me you're praying for these maybe leaders who might be tired, for refilling, and for just such powerful thing. But I'm looking at you on the screen here, and I'm like, do you ever wear out? You seem so invincible. you seem so like unlimited energy and capacity. I mean, doing this leadership day, teaching at the Send, which we'll come to in a second. How do you keep going with all these big things going on?
Do you know, if my life has changed in the last 3 years, undeniably. Mm-hmm. It's like several weights have been placed on me, but good weights, responsibilities, callings. And if you described the life I'm living now to the even 5 year ago version of me, I would have thought, how on earth how am I going to keep my head above the water? But for all I know is you have grace for the season you're in. God will never ask you to do something without giving you everything you need to do it. Mm. And that would be in the case of both financial resource, but also in the case of the energy resource and the people around you you need. And God will never ask you to do something without providing everything you need to do. And for me, it's just, I know I'm doing the things that the Lord's asked me to do. And it's the three things, the Unity Move in Scotland and in the UK, the Go Global family of churches and pastoring a lovely, wonderful church, City and Hill. So it's those three remits. But God's given me a grace for it. And I guess that's the thing, looking in someone else's life, we feel the nervousness for them, but actually in the life, you experience the grace. And it's the same with yourself, Brian. What you're carrying is, so yesterday you were preaching and leading in various parts of Glasgow, and then in the evening you're prayer ministering with people for several hours, you know, and here you are, bright and bushy-tailed, you know.
I'm not feeling bright. this is the wrong morning to say bright and bushy-tailed.
But you know what I mean? There's a grace on you for what you carry. And yeah. I love that. And so we should, and I guess it's a lesson for life, whether it's someone looking into, oh, I'm about to get married, how will I manage? Or, oh, we're about to have kids, how will I manage? God will make sure there is a grace on you for that moment. And so, yeah. So I'm grateful to God for his grace and his sustaining and his strength.
Yeah, you bring up the prayer movement that you're doing. And you know, we're talking about this, the send and just that gathering that happened. But I when I look back, I'm like, this moment feels more significant than what I've experienced in the last 22 years being here in Scotland, where, you know, for the last 22 years, I've been bringing people together to pray for reawakening, to pray for revival, to pray for just the next generations to come to Jesus in a way that I haven't seen before. I've been praying for this for every gathering before the service, praying for this. Part of the infrastructure, even leading up for the last couple of decades, has been prayer behind, you know, God reawaken, bring revival. I know Tommy McNeil's been doing this, and like so many people have been praying for this. And then what you mentioned, the prayer, the United Prayer Movement in Scotland over the last half decade or so. Like, it just, I mean, it's, maybe it's been going on before that, but like the boost that we've experienced over the last couple of years of church leaders praying together, like that is setting a stage for something. I remember a year and a half ago, just hearing, being at a meeting about the Send potentially coming to Scotland. And I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know if I should, I'll just off record, I'll tell you.
No one else is listening to this.
No, that's right. You know, I'm listening, and I had been to this end in Norway, and I'm thinking this is pretty amazing thing, but I'm like, could it actually happen in Scotland? Because there is a history of 170 years of kind of not being on the same page with churches and one anotherness. And I was like, Could there be like a unity? Are we ready for this kind of a cross, you know, churches supporting something like this? And I was like, oh, next generation, yikes. And I was like, I want it to be. And yet, you know, there's that hesitancy, but man, am I delighted to see the fruit of years of prayer, of united prayer, of the breaking down of the things that needed to break down before this moment, and just praying that this would be an epic pivot moment. And those pivot moments happen. Sorry, I'm going. Any comments on that?
And you know, sure, I'm playing a part in the unity prayer movement, but there's a whole army of people doing different layers of things. So you've got Alistair Barton with Prayer for Scotland. You've got the guys at 24/7 Prayer. There's multi-layered prayer movements happening to say, Lord, do something great. And just like, hey, you have pre-service prayer. And is it not the case that the church gathering, the service you have, goes so much better if you've taken concerted time before it praying? I mean, it really does. It's just like, okay, you pray before it. That will go so much better. The preaching will go better. The worship, the contributions, that people will be more open. So it's just saying, okay, let's just, like, we can apply that to a church service. Let's apply it to every church service in Scotland over this next season. And so everyone prays, and so it's going to go so much better in every church service in Scotland. And not just church services, but also the YWAM outreaches and the Youth with a Mission outreaches and the SU groups. It's just that as we pray, everything goes better in the nation. And that's just, it's such a simple, obvious formula, isn't it?
I was at the prayer meeting beforehand, like about a couple hours before it started. And just, I'm really dialed into like, okay, yes, they did a good work of bringing, you know, have prayer infrastructure behind the send, which is great, you know, and they have their prayer meetings, they have their intercessors going on. But at the same time, I am also looking around the room at that prayer meeting and then during the send, and I can see, oh, there's Sarah Jane right there. And I can see her interceding. I can see her praying because either that or she's terrible with song lyrics, because what I see her mouth doing and when I see the song, I'm like, this is not the same thing. I know she's praying, and I see Alistair Barton, like you mentioned, and I can see him. I can see these prayer people in the room who are like just like praying people praying around this event, not people who are just here to pray because of the sin, but this is their life has been about prayer and stirring prayer. And so just very aware of like so much more background than just the mobilization of an event to bring to this. And so then, the number I was told was 3,728 people gathered together for this time. Okay, so yeah, that event was so amazing. Let's talk about like your chat, like wrapping it up was so good. It was so on point where you're talking about like taking the seed and bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. But like, let's talk about like what happened. I know you weren't able to be there because you were doing the leadership thing, and then you were able to come kind of later on in the time. What you were mentioning Francis Chan, but what kind of things were you seeing and experiencing as you came into a room where there's like thousands of people there to worship and gather? Like, what did you see and what was jumping out at you?
You know, I get so moved seeing people worshiping, and you know, the Bible says at the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to see glimpses of that on earth is wonderful, where thousands of people are acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. I long for God to get the fame, you know, and we're in a nation where God is a swear word, or Jesus, they say his name usually in a negative way. And isn't it wonderful to have thousands of people where his name is on their lips? And it's adoration and glory to God, and he is wonderful. And again, with Francis's message, I thought he took that same, it was so God-centered. He just pointed people to God, didn't point people to himself, point people to God. And that's exactly what young people need. That's exactly what the next generation needs. They don't need self-help. They don't need a human-centered version of faith. They need a God-centered version of faith, a big vision of God. Not even a big vision for themselves, a big vision of God. And then whatever that means for themselves, cool. And that's what came across. That just, and I wept several points. This is beautiful seeing this. So it was wonderful. Yeah. I was so impacted by that and hearing prayers of faith being prayed as in those prayer moments when people were praying and the passion and the authenticity of the worship leaders as well. You know, sometimes getting on their knees, opening their Bibles, genuinely not just good singers, but actually people who were authentic with God, which thrills me. And I guess for Francis Chan, that's what I admire about Francis Chan and have for years. There's an absolute authenticity about the guy.
Yeah. I had three probably Jesus moments. One of them was during that Francis Chan, where he had us like picture heaven. And, you know, I never know exactly what's going to happen when I'm doing that. But he's like, he'd been talking about Isaiah 6 and the throne room of heaven and really the encountering God with that response of, here am I, send me. But like, you know, it's like, okay, picture God in the throne room of heaven. And I had that picture and I it was just like one of those moments where I'm like, whoa, like God seems happy. Like it doesn't seem like he seems happy with me. And I'm like, But I can think of a lot of reasons why God might not be happy, and I think that's that Isaiah 6, like when Isaiah, the great prophet, is in the throne room of God and he's like, whoa is me. I kind of had a little bit of like I don't deserve this quantity of happiness. And I'm like, is this true? Is this biblical? Am I making this up? Is it really? It was just kind of one of those like really like special moments of kind of rethinking, you know, like how are the lies of the enemy trying to, the accuser, the work of the accuser. Anyways, I don't want to go off on this.
I think what you've touched on something that I think everyone listening to this podcast needs to hear. Mm. I think it was accurate that God's happy with you. Mm. And why? Because he's happy with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you're in Christ.
Yeah.
And that changes everything. I am as loved as Jesus is loved. I am as accepted as Jesus is. My righteousness is not mine. He's a man on the throne called Jesus. And we're either in Christ or we're not in Christ. And if we're in Christ, God's really happy with us.
Yeah.
So yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Do you know why? I did this. So I was reading Revelation. And it's almost like, so Revelation's what, 90 AD? And Isaiah's vision, what was that, 600, 700 AD?
722-ish, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I just know he's
in the afternoon.
I know that he's around when Hezekiah in the fall of the Northern Kingdom.
Yeah, if you knew that, I mean,
I'm sorry.
Do you know Hezekiah's birthday? That's incredible.
Yeah, August 23rd.
About five past noon. Okay, I'm very impressed, Ryan. Okay, well, there you go. He was me trying to be impressive, roughly. Okay, anyway, so like this is, 800 years later.
Yeah.
You have this vision Isaiah has in Isaiah 6, and then in Revelation John has, he sees the same throne. But then I suddenly realize, you know how those kids, coloring books, where they spot the difference?
Okay, yeah.
So you put the two pictures, so they spot the difference between Isaiah's vision and John's vision. And, okay, so what's the difference? So in Isaiah's vision, the angels were covering their faces and covering their, different parts, and they were crying out, holy, holy, holy. And in John's vision, the angels weren't covering their faces. In fact, they were full of eyes. They're not just they're covering eyes, they fully see.
Yeah.
And they're surrounded by the 24 elders. So there's people there. So what's happened? What's changed? The cross. The cross and the resurrection has changed everything. Wow. So now we fully see, and it's those four angelic beings around the throne that John describes, face of a man, face of a lion, face of an eagle, face of an ox. I think it speaks about the four gospels. This revelation of God in Christ, it's like we can fully see now. It's not just like we're not covered, we can fully see. But then the 24 elders, I think it's a representation of the people of God, the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes, the people of God through all generations. They are there now. How are they there now? The only reason they're there now is because a resurrection happens. Mm-hmm. Jesus took captivity captive. His blood has made their way. And now that throne is surrounded. And something fundamental changed. And we're talking about Easter in a few months at the cross and resurrection. So I think God is happy with us. Not because we're somehow perfect. I mean, we so are, and that's the thing, we're so aware of our failures. Mm-hmm. But I think we've got to become righteousness conscious of our righteousness being Jesus Christ. We're in him. If we're either two types of humans, they're either in Adam or you're in Christ.
Yeah.
You're in Adam by virtue of the fact you're born. You're in Christ by virtue of the fact you're born again. And then you please God. Wow.
Yeah. And that's why I like to run after these moments where, like, I want to be in the room when Jesus shows up. And when there's gatherings that are going to be like, we're going to worship and worship. Anyways, I was in the room for 9 hours. I didn't leave my spot. Like I was pivoted. People are like, do you need to go get food? And I'm like, I don't want to miss a thing. I am not like, like Thomas wasn't in the room when Jesus showed up. I don't want to be in the room if Jesus shows up when you guys are going to get dinner. But also like, there's like a hunger. Like I want to be there. I want to not miss a minute, but also this is Scotland. And this is where, like, I want to hear everything that's being challenged to the next generation. I want to hear every call, because I plan on doing this for some decades still. And I want to be in line with what God's calling and challenging the next generation with. So yeah, I was just riveted. But like that desire to just not miss a moment. And when you get those moments, it's like 2 seconds. And yet it is such a shift, as I compare it to exactly what you're saying, to the Bible and what is truly true, and start unfiltering. Oh man, I've got some lies that, you know, that I have to peel back. I got to walk in truth. And powerful moments. But awesome. Again,
and in the presence of God, how many people had God moments, right?
Yeah.
How many people had open visions? How many people had God thoughts?
Yeah.
How many people, something just jumped out from what was said, or a scripture jumped out. And and it's like they've got something and think, wow, that was from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, you just imagine there's just a distribution taking place from heaven into that room.
Yeah, one of the powerful moments, Andy Bird. So he does this call to the nations and who's resonating. And at the, you know, it just... at that kind of at the end of this thing, he's like, you know, if you feel like something going on in the inside, you know, you're not being really dogmatic about that, but something on the inside, like a resonance, like maybe God's calling me to the nations, you know, turn on your flashlight, your torch, on your phone and hold it up. And the lights went down and I'm up near the front. I'm probably like 10 feet from the front. Cause you know me, I'm like all in, right? I'm like in it to win it. And I turn around and I'm just seeing like hundreds of phones up. Not, it wasn't like every, it's not one of those moments where like everybody's doing it, which is great. Which
would be, not everyone is called.
Exactly. It's not, I'm not saying that there was 1,000, but like, and I was like, whoa, if even half of these people kind of respond to this call and it's real for them and they go. Like, I remember in my life a moment where Kelly and I stood up to be willing to go wherever God was sending us. And, you know, I was expecting grass hut instead of sandstone hut in Scotland. you know, like just willing to go anywhere. And I know the power of those moments. And I'm just looking around like, whoa, this is good for the nations. This is a moment. And I don't know. There's some pretty fun moments. Like, there's other moments that, you know, that you didn't see Martin Smith. Martin Smith, dude, that guy is right. I mean, growing up in my Generation X, you know, Martin Smith's worship, leading with cutting edge stuff in the early days was so impactful, even where I'm in Seattle. But that guy's a hoot, and his worship set, I think, with his daughter, just It was fun. It was powerful. You know, he's got this big red Jesus flag. He's like swirling around. I'm like, only Martin Smith. He puts on this big red thing that a garment of praise. And I'm like, wow, only Martin Smith can pull. It was so good. I mean, the worship and all the stuff, like the Scottish Collective, just watching so many anointed Scottish worship leaders up there leading us in worship. Powerful stuff. Alan McKinley, and you got Tommy McNeil bringing that revival chat. So good. I mean,
that whole family, do you know, I had a catch up with Matthew McNeil a couple of weeks ago, and that whole family, obviously based in Stornoway, Martin's Memorial Church, but the whole family and Kenny Borthwick.
He told me it's not St. Martin's. There's no saint. No, it's just Martin's. And I was like, wait.
Was Martin not a saint?
I didn't know that.
I hope he was. Okay. They really have such a heart for not just for that neck of the woods. They're not just trying to dig up, let's get the Hebridean revival going again, but they've got a heart for the entire nation to see God move. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great people. Yeah. So anyways, so good. But then, so you have it, I guess if you weren't there, the flow of the sand is basically, you know, like praying. And the prayer storm guy, he was just like, you do your quiet times at home. This is not quiet time prayer. This is, we're praying and we're interceding and we're calling on God for revival and waking up. And, you know, that call to salvation and just giving your life to Jesus, dedicating your life to Jesus, just strong moments throughout. And wonderful. Again, the worship and then the call, there's a call like to kind of at a moment where I think a lot of people wait for dinner, but like a call to be intentional where you are. Like, not just a call to go to the nations, but like to be bold for Jesus in your life, in your context, in your situations, and just seeing people respond to that moment. I'm like, oh, this is so good. So good. And you know, and then you wrapped it up at the end. And again, I think it's so funny. My church was freaking out. They're like, oh no, it's running long and they've cut Pete. No, they've cut Pete. And there's like a big, no guys, just hold on. They would never.
It was an honor to be involved. And do you know, I had that picture. It's, I don't know if I conveyed it clearly enough, but it's in golf. Yeah. You know, when you... It's not just about how, it's not just the strength of the impact when you hit the ball. It's the strength of the follow through. I mean, you could have a great impact, but a weak follow through and your ball's going to go half the distance. It's probably going to be off track. So you need the strong impact and then the strong follow through. So it's not just that moment. It's not just that moment where you're together at this end. It's on Monday. It's being part of a local church, totally part of a local church, rooted in a local church, loving that local church. Playing your part, loyal. It's reading your Bible. It's praying. And sometimes bearing fruit. I mean, we're sharing stories in this the Brian and Pete podcast. We're sharing awesome stories of the Lord moving. But it doesn't happen suddenly. Sometimes they do. But usually it's years of faithfulness, years of laboring, years of let's not grow weary while doing good. And so actually it's the follow through from these emotional moments, which are great. It's the follow through that counts. It's that, okay, I'm setting the course. This is a marathon. I'm going to live for God. Yeah, that's what I wanted to convey.
Yeah.
It's that Jesus is the explanation of the parable of the sower. He said it's they received it with an honest and good heart and they bore fruit with perseverance. And I think that's key. It was such a good time, wasn't it? It was just to see everyone lift their shoes. And saying, lift their shoes before God, saying, God, here am I, send me.
Well, you know, on the floor, so it's an ice rink, right? So, I mean, and it's an ice rink. And they had these plastic things on the floor, like hard plastic. And because it's ice underneath, the condensation is going onto the plastic. So it's wet. And you know, every time they have a sit down, it's like sitting down. I had a book, I sat on a book, but it's kind of wet on the ground and you stand up, sit down. So it was a, you know, Scotland. Yeah. What's a bunch of water for
they made
Scotland?
It feel like Scotland. There we go.
Yeah. And so, but there was a moment where we're taking off our shoes and people are like, the floor's wet, and we're, you know, and just like, okay, well, we're doing this thing, and lifting up the shoes, just like, I will go anywhere. You know, like anywhere Jesus asks, I will go with boldness into my workplace. I will go with boldness into my, you know, for a lot of people, schools, universities. I'll go boldness anywhere in the world. Like it was just such a good moment, good wrap up,
worth getting wet socks for.
Yeah, I had two other moments though, Jesus moments. You know, for myself, like. I had a thankful moment where, you know, it was 2 years ago, basically, in Norway at the Send, where I had that panic is my past, peace is my future. And,
yes.
And I, you know, returning, as I said a couple of weeks ago, and just coming through Ghana and having no panic and no anxiety. Oh, yeah. And then teaching at some environments that had triggered me in the past, zero triggers now. My wife being away for a couple of weeks and just like not like things that might trigger me in the past. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, I am so thankful. Like you put on my heart 2 years ago to declare panic is my past, peace is my future. And I'm living at an experience now, 2 years on. It hasn't been flawless. It hasn't been without its back steps. And I've talked about that. But here I am just like blown away, like just your faithfulness and that declaration. And here I am today. Can't speak about tomorrow. I can't say it's been a perfect path, but oh, just such a thankful moment in the middle there. And also just, you know, just was challenged at the time about like, hey, you know, I don't know. I'm not really a fighter. I don't like to fight with people. And so sometimes in conversations, I don't know when to be like, no, that's stupid. I mean, that's probably not the gracious way to, like, I don't know, but I, you know, like the tactful, I don't know exactly when to speak up all the time and when to just be like, okay, well, that's, you know, it's not the time. I probably err on the, okay, just letting this one go right now. And, but I was like, man, are there lies there? Are there insecurities and just really kind of wrestling with God? Should I be speaking up more? I mean, if not me, who? And, you know, that kind of thought. So I don't have a good answer for that one. I do know that the answer is not to start with, dude, that's stupid. But but yeah, I mean, so just kind of some, you know, Jesus moments, just being in the room.
That's awesome. We're changed in the presence of God, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're changed. Yeah. The most memorable moments in my life have been moments in the presence of God.
Yeah.
You know, if we just think, wow, he spoke. Or you just sense his presence when he we know he's omnipresent, right? Yeah. But there's those moments where, oh wow, you feel his real presence here.
Yeah,
so powerful.
Yeah,
so wonderful.
The biggest breakthrough moments in my life have been in group situations of people running after Jesus and just being in the room and God showing up. Wow. Wow. Any final thoughts on what's going on? God is doing, like, this is the generation is responding unlike anything I've ever seen before. And God is on the move. There's big stuff happening. I think we see it in our churches. We're baptizing, I don't know how many, but so many people between now and, you know, this weekend and next weekend. And, yeah, the generation is pouring in and next generation is pouring in. And I'm just praying that this God on the move, that the young generation lights up the older generations. And by the older generations, I'm shouting out the millennials. you're now the older generations. And all the generations, just as a fiery example of, oh, an inspiring example. Yes, this is how we want to live in our day too. But man, God's on the move. Any thoughts?
I guess to say a big thank you to anyone who was involved in making the Send happen. A huge thank you. Just huge amount of organization goes in, like years of preparation. Thank you to Francis Chan and the team for having the vision. Thank you to the people who made it happen. Yeah. And, you know, Brigadine and others who just behind the scenes, Sarah Jane, others who just been involved. And it's also hugely, it's expensive to do something like this. It's a six-figure amount to run an event like that in such a big arena. And ticket prices would go so far, but there's a lot of generosity going on to make that possible. So for people to believe in the cause of God and investing in a nation that much, to put this much in, is just incredible. So massive thank you. Anyone listening, thank you so much.
Well, I was planning on talking about Holy Week coming up, but we're not going to get there. But that's just, all I want to say is, like, if this is a moment, and it is, that God is on the move and he is in a unique way in Scotland, this is probably the Easter to be bold and to call people and to, like, people are responding now, unlike what I have seen in the last 22 years, more than, and so I just challenge you, like, be more bold this Easter. Say, come and see, come to my church, come and invite people, because God is stirring and people are responding. So Easter, it's a moment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the big message.
Wow. Okay, so that's the Holy Week chat. Listeners' questions. So listeners' questions, you can send them to brianandpetepodcast@gmail.com. Again, Brian and Pete Podcast, thank you for those questions. So this one's from Laura Campbell. And she asks, like, what would I do differently if I could go back? What could I do? What would I do differently if I could go back? Any thoughts about that?
Okay, what comes to my mind when I hear that question is probably what we talked about over the last, we've touched on this over the last few episodes, talking about worry and anxiety. I think I would go back and I would tell the younger version of me, Pete, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Because I worried about the details. I worried about, are they going to show up? I worried, is this going to work? I worried, are we going to have the money for it? I worried about do I have what it takes? You know, so many worries, so many anxieties. But what God has continually been telling me, and so if I could go back, I'd just tell me what God's been telling me, is do not worry. Do not worry. And that doesn't mean bury your head in the sand. It doesn't mean put your feet up. It means give the weight of it to him. Trust him. Trust him. So I would engage with that more. I would force myself to say, no, I'm going to engage with not worrying more emotionally. I'm going to actually be at peace. I'm going to trust him more. What about you, Ryan? What would you say to the younger version of you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking, you have the deeper answer to my shallower answer, because my shallower answer, my shallower answer is I would be more kind. And I think that is a symptom of, you know, worry and stress, and kind of like, I would be more joyful as opposed to like, and I think that, you know, again, I think that the deeper answer is like the stress and the strain, and it's bearing fruit. I would laugh more, you know, those kind of things. But ultimately, I think that the number one thing that I have embraced in these last years, I use the phrase lead like a grandpa, you'll just hear it 1,000 times, hopefully on this podcast, but this, that big picture, like children, little children, they freak out at everything. And that was probably more me in the earlier days, when it's like, oh man, it was such a high cost to do this and go, and what if, and you know, like a little more freak out. Parents tend to be exhausted. I'm not speaking this over parents, but like just generally speaking, there's like an exhaustion and an overwhelmingness of just the intensity of everything all the time. And whereas grandparents, there's a little bit bigger perspective. Wow, I've gotten through so many things. And I just have that bigger picture perspective. Yeah, this might be a bad moment, but it's just a moment. This might be a down, but there's so many downs, and it doesn't mean that up's not coming. And, you know, just like that bigger picture, grandparent-like perspective, and just not letting the moments get to you and just keep trusting God in the whole thing. But yeah,
So anyone who is the younger version of the Brian Pete's out there, hear that as an encouragement to you guys. Be kinder. Do not worry as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be like a grandpa.
Yeah. And if you're younger, be kind to us older guys. So, good. Okay. So Brian and Pete podcast at gmail.com. Again, thank you. Thank you guys for listening. It's just been it's a great moment to be doing a podcast because there's great things happening in Scotland. Yeah. So many exciting things. I hope you guys are fired up for God being on the move.
Brilliant. It's great. And great to have this weekly kind of commentary, conversation about what's been happening. And again, it was a joy to, you know, going back to the send, a joy to meet so many people from Rehope who came up and said, hey, Pete. So it was, hey, guys, great to see you all. And it's for me, it's a joy. We're not just having a conversation with each other. We're having a conversation with friends in various places. So may you all be blessed.
Right. Blessings, everyone. Talk to you soon.
We hope that you enjoyed today's episode of the Brian and Pete podcast. If you found this episode helpful, share with a friend and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. Brian is the pastor of Rehope Church, a multi-site church that started in Glasgow. He is also the founder of Scotland Bible School, a 3-year Bible school where students study every book of the Bible. Pete is the pastor of City on a Hill, a multi-site church across Edinburgh and the Lothians. He also leads Go Global, a family of hundreds of churches spanning 17 countries. If you'd like to submit a question to Brian and Pete, please email brianandpetepodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to having you join us for next week's episode.